Can you guys hear me all right? Awesome, awesome, awesome. Well, let's open up with a word of prayer and then we'll get into it, all right? So let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much. It's just such an honor, Lord. Just as I meditate, Lord, there's been so much that goes on in my life and so many other people's lives, Lord, and I'm a broken man, and it's because of your gospel, because of what you did for me and for all of the people of this world, Lord, that I can't not share it. Lord, we can't isolate ourselves. We can't put up boundaries, Lord. If you put something on our heart, when you heal our heart, Lord, we have to express it. We have to share it. We have to be joyful about it. So, Lord, I'm so honored. I thank Pastor Rob so much and his team for allowing me to come in this venue and to preach what you've put on my heart, Lord. So I'm so thankful again for all the students that I've been able to build relationships with, and I'm so touched to see them out here tonight and all the new faces that I'm meeting as well. So Lord, this is your night, this is your message, and all God's people said,
amen,
amen, amen. So for those of you that don't know me, I was born and raised here in Merritt Island. I went to Tropical, I went to Jefferson, I went to Merritt Island High, and I went off and did some things, and the good Lord brought me back here for a season, and it's been such an honor. It's been such a empowering time, empowering season of my life. So I've had opportunities to preach at different churches and different youth groups and such, but every time before I speak or preach, I always do something to kind of calm my nerves. I've gone as far as walk up and down the aisles and high-fiving and shaking hands and kissing babies just so I can just really relax. But tonight, I wanted to read a poem. So this poem is also a song that you might be familiar with. So if you kind of catch along, feel free to speak it out with me. She just wants to be beautiful. She goes unnoticed. She knows no limits. She craves attention. She praises an image. She prays to be sculpted by the sculptor. Oh, she don't see the light that's shining deeper than the eyes can find it. Maybe we have made her blind. So she tries to cover up her pain and cut her woes away. But all together now, there's a hope for you in the dark. You should know you're beautiful just the way you are. Come on, fellas, I know you know it. Everybody, there we go. All right, so you can put up the slides, So with this specific message, we're going to talk about scars tonight. And we're going to talk about shining scars. All right, so if you have your Bibles, please get them out right now. But next slide, please. Who of you have some gnarly scars? Anybody got some gnarly scars? Morgan, what do you got? What? You got some gnarly scars? What happened? Wow. That's pretty gnarly. Shh. Quiet down. What about you? Yeah.
Yeah.
Morgan. So we got these scars, right? A lot of us have these scars. And these scars all tell a story, right? Every one of us immediately goes and tells the story about our scar. I have scars. I got a busted lip. I have a burn scar. I got scars from when I was younger, just fooling around doing crazy things. So we all have these gnarly scars. Can you go to the next slide, please? So our scripture for tonight is in the book of John. The book of John is the last... You guys good?
Yes.
You middle schoolers know what I do when you guys aren't quiet up. All right, so we're gonna open up to John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. We're going to lay the setting first. So at this particular time, We have to remember that there's an empty tomb now. This is the latter part of the gospel message. There's an empty tomb. Jesus has risen. Jesus appears to Mary Magdalene, and Mary Magdalene freaks out and is like, oh my goodness, teacher, teacher. And then Jesus goes and says, go tell the disciples that I have risen. So we have this stage set. We know that there's an empty tomb. Mary Magdalene has Jesus appeared to her, and Mary Magdalene goes and tells the disciples that Jesus is alive. Jesus is risen. In the evening of the resurrection day, the first day of the week, the doors of the room were locked where the disciples had gathered for fear of the Jews. Jesus came to stand in the midst of them and said, peace to you. Then he let them examine his hands and his side. And so the disciples were filled with confidence and joy over seeing their Lord. Then Jesus said again, peace to you. Just as the Father has sent me into the world, so I am sending you into the world. Jesus breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit who will teach you and use you just as he has done throughout the past ages. He will be with you until you are endued with his power. Those you lead to faith will have their sins forgiven, and those who reject Christ will retain their sins. We're blessed to have this word. We're blessed to understand how powerful this particular time in history is, that Jesus is risen, that the excitement about Jesus' resurrection is just overwhelming. With excitement also comes nerves. And so they're very nervous at this time too. Next slide, please. So we have three phases that lead to shining scars. First one, Christ can unlock our insecurities. Christ can heal our wounds, and Christ can shine through our scars. Next slide, please. The first phase we've already read in John 19 through 20, is in the evening of the resurrection day, the first day of the week, the doors of the room were locked where the disciples had gathered for fear of the Jews. Jesus came to stand in the midst of them and said, peace to you. Why did the disciples lock the door? Why? Why did he lock the door? Why did they fear the Jews? So let's remember, Jesus is risen, right? But what happened? Jesus died on the cross first. So because he died on the cross, who's the one that denied Christ three times?
Peter,
right? So Peter denied Christ after being with him, after living with him, after doing ministry with him. So in that specific instant, Peter had an opportunity to proclaim Christ, to stand by Christ's side. Christ forgave Peter, but these disciples locked the doors because they feared the Jews, because the Jews are going to do what? They're guilty by association, all the disciples. So Jesus' disciples, who he groomed, who he prepared to go out and spread the word and be the pioneers of the early church, they were scared. They were scared of the Jews because they knew that they were going to either be killed or put into prison. So basically, they're meeting in this room. I don't know. They must have had people lined up against the door, making sure nobody can come in. And they're like, oh, junk, guys. Jesus is risen. What he said is true. Everything he ever told us is becoming true. How are we going to react? How are we going to respond? How'd they respond? They responded with fear. They responded with insecurity. They were extremely insecure, actually. And they were fearful because they had no confidence in Christ. And when you have no confidence, that communicates insecurity. So tonight, what is an insecurity? There's a variety of different things to talk about. Physical insecurities, intellectual insecurities, spiritual insecurities, emotional insecurities. Sometimes we might look in the mirror and say, I don't like the way I look. I want to cover that up. I want to hide that. Emotionally, we may have had a trauma. We may have had something happen in our lives. My middle school class knows we're very transparent with one another. I come from a broken family. I come from an alcoholic father. Those are emotional wounds that have happened to me in my life. Intellectually, some of you seniors, some of you juniors may be intimidated because a lot of students are getting into colleges and you may not get that acceptance letter right. You may get that rejection letter. Those intellectual scars, spiritual. Sometimes you might be like, wow, that person's really holy, and I am just this unholy person. I'm a sinner. This person raises their hand in church, and I don't even know where the book of Ecclesiastes is. So we have these spiritual insecurities as well. So throughout these insecurities, we have to realize that they are wounds. Insecurities are like wounds. What happens to a wound initially? We get the wound, and then it starts to scab, right? So if we have an emotional wound, if we have a physical wound, if there's something physical about ourselves that we don't necessarily like, and we try to cover it up, and then somebody points it out, that wound starts to scab, and it's like a comment of the world just rips it right off. That wound is exposed again. That wound hurts even more than before because of all of the focus on that wound. Physically, intellectually, spiritually. When the world tears these scabs off in the midst of its healing, it comes back amplified. The pain is overwhelming. It hurts. This is when the defense mechanisms start coming up, right? We'll deflect it. I just saw you throw a punch. You might knock him out. Say, you can't talk about me, boy. Right? Because you flexed and the sleeves fell off your shirt, right? Let me see it one time. There you go. All right. So we have these defense mechanisms. Maybe it is a deflection. Maybe it is something like puffing. Kind of just throwing it off, being cocky. Be like, you can't talk to me. That doesn't faze me. Right? But you're just deflecting the wound. Sometimes all of this deflection, all of these defense mechanisms leads to isolation. That we don't even want to deal with the world. We just want to go hide because these wounds are overwhelming. We don't want people to see our wounds. We want people to see our brokenness. So we're going to go isolate ourselves. And then when we isolate ourselves, the enemy just goes to work. And unfortunately, more than likely, it's self-destruction. All of the spirituality, all the faith crumbles because you doubt. You let those insecurities take over. You get scared. You get fearful. You lock yourself up. You cover up because you're sensitive, right? You get sensitive to these wounds. Physical wounds, spiritual wounds, emotional wounds. You get sensitive to them. Sometimes you might lie about them. Sometimes you might cheat for something because intellectually you're like, I just don't measure up. I gotta cheat. I gotta cheat to keep up. I gotta distract people from realizing who I truly am, and I gotta find a different method so that they think that I got it going on, that I'm smart, that I'm good looking, that nothing fazes me. I gotta cheat, I gotta steal, I gotta distract. So the disciples are locked in this room. They gathered there and they're just like, what do we do? They got the biggest dude up, posted up by the door, making sure the Jews don't come in. And they're like, what are we supposed to do? Jesus is risen. I don't know what to do anymore. He told us all this stuff and now the rubber meets the road. And now what do? Let's lock ourselves up. Let's distract. Let's deflect. Let's lie about it. Let's just all huddle up in this room and be together and just think about it, right? And this is the most beautiful part about this specific scripture. Jesus appeared. He miraculously appeared. And not only did he unlock the door, he unlocked their insecurities. He came in miraculously and said what? Peace to you. Now, Jesus didn't have a literal key. He didn't come in like the SWAT team and bust open that door and said, what's up? I'm Jesus. He miraculously appeared in the room. He didn't have a key, but the key to unlocking their insecurities was providing that peace. He provided that peace and said, you don't have to be scared. You don't have to lock the doors. You have me. I told you what I was going to do, and I'm doing it. I'm doing it. Believe me. Trust me. He gave them that assurance of peace. Next slide, please. Christ can heal our wounds. John 20:21. Then he let them examine his hands, his side. And so the disciples were filled with confidence and joy over seeing their Lord. Then Jesus said again, peace to you. Just as the Father has sent me into the world, so I am sending you into the world. What's up with his hands? Why are they looking at his hands? They had nails in them, right? What about his side? They stabbed him. Anybody know why they stabbed him? Make sure he is dead. But sometimes, and this is where I want you guys to really kind of focus on the divine providence, how God really just, how he does, just orchestrates things. Most of the time, especially with the other two guys on the cross, they broke their legs. They're like, all right, let's make sure they're dead. Let's make sure, crack, break the leg, right? But they didn't break Jesus's legs. They speared him in the side. They're like, oh, he's dead anyways. Let's gash him up the side. That's a prophecy fulfilled because no bones were broken. So to really kind of unpack that deeper, we have to realize that in the foolishness of the Roman soldiers brought glory to God. Prophecy fulfilled. So Jesus comes to his disciples wounded. He says, you don't have to be ashamed. I'm wounded. Look at me. I died. I'm scarred up. This is me in the flesh. It's Jesus, right? He could have just been like, all healed up. But he showed his disciples that he was going to be vulnerable and reveal himself wounded, beaten, broken. But he's alive. He's alive. It's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful thing. Later on in the passage that we don't have right here, but later on in these specific verses, there's another disciple, Thomas, who wasn't there. And Thomas is like, yo, I got to see this Jesus. All right, I don't believe you. I need to see him. I want to touch his wounds. I want to make sure that this guy's legit. I want to put my finger where the nails were. I want to put my hand in his side. So Thomas came a few days, week later. He saw the wounds and he trusted. He said, you are my Lord and my God. Jesus said, go ahead and touch it. He said, no, I see it. What if I came out to y'all right now and I'm like, hey, or if I was over there and I called up Morgan and Eli and I'm like, hey, Tamlin, and I've tripped on my way over here because I was so excited to see you guys and I'm just frolicking over, skipping jubilantly to come visit with y'all and I trip and I gash up my arm and I hit up Tamlin. I'm like, Tamlin, I got a big old boo-boo on my elbow, man. And he's like, nuh-uh. And I'm like, yuh-huh. And so he's like, come over here so I can touch it and see it. And then I get here and I'm like, look, Tamlin, touch it. And he's like, I see it, man. I trust you. And that's what happened with Thomas. He's like, I want to put my finger in those holes in your hand. I want to put my hand in your side. But then he saw and he's like, I trust you. You are my Lord and my God. And Jesus said, God will bless you because you have seen and believed. But God will also bless those who haven't seen me and yet believe. So when we're wounded like this, we can't try to heal, right? If we try to heal, that just reveals our impatience. We must trust to heal. We have wounds, right? Physically, emotionally, spiritually, intellectually. We have these wounds, but the proper healing is to trust. Biologically, I don't get it. Scientifically, I don't get it. That is crazy stuff, how we just can get a boo-boo and put some Neosporin on it, maybe not even Neosporin, and it just heals, right? We just trust. We can try to put appropriate ointments and bandages on. We can try. But inevitably, what is happening is we're trusting that we're going to heal. And that's something I wrote in this blog. So in my other job, I have the honor of teaching at the Maryland Christian School as a middle school Bible teacher, but I also serve, one time for the Cougars. So my other job, I serve as one of the directors at a substance abuse facility in Cocoa. And I write a blog for our website, and I started to differentiate between trying and trusting, and this is what I wrote. There's a strong distinction between trying and trusting. Trusting is an inward surrender to an almighty God without restraint or condition. Trying is an outward act of desperation that is of the flesh, ultimately revealing impatience. With our faith in Christ, that source can heal the impossible. The blueprint of the gospel message inspires us to trust in Christ. This source of trust is unlimited. Our challenge is not to try to heal, but to trust Christ to heal our wounds. Next slide, please. Christ can shine through our scars. John chapter 20, 22 through 23. Jesus breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit who will teach you and use you just as he has done throughout the past ages. He will be with you until you are endued with his power. Those you lead to faith will have their sins forgiven, and those who reject Christ will retain their sins." As we said before, insecurities are wounds, and Christ can heal them with our trust. What happens to a wound? It heals and becomes a what? It becomes a scar. So, we talk about how Christ can unlock our insecurities, that the key to it is peace. We talk about how he can heal our wounds by trusting. And now we see that he can shine through our scars, because when he heals our wounds, we get these scars and we receive the Holy Spirit. And next slide, please. All of our scars have stories. So we let Christ be the center of our story by allowing him to shine through our scars. Emotionally, we got scars. Intellectually, spiritually, and physically. These emotional scars that we have to overcome in life, that the world will rip off and shred apart even deeper, Christ heals those wounds. They become scars. And now I'm standing before you being able to testify to that. That because of all my brokenness, it's the gospel message that has healed my wounds. Now I'm coming before you with scars. I'm scarred up. But because Christ heals me through my brokenness, the Holy Spirit's shining through my scars. Emotionally, my parents' divorce, I look at that, that was broken. I look at that, but because of my faith in Christ, because of my parents' faith in Christ, we have unity amongst each other. Our families, our friends. I got picked on about the way I looked growing up, about my eyebrows, about a variety of different things. But now I'm able to testify before that, that Christ can shine through that, that my physical image isn't a priority in my life, that God created me, he created you, we're all beautiful. Your scars to your beautiful, we're stars who are beautiful, right? Emotionally, you get a bunch of curveballs in life. You get picked on in life. We get these wounds. We get these scabs. The world's going to rip them off, rip them off, rip them off. But that gospel message always comes back. It always is there. It never leaves us. Our scars are beautiful. The Holy Spirit shines through our scars. So whenever you feel like you're wounded, because you are wounded, we go through wars spiritually. We're in spiritual battles all the time, whether it be with siblings, family, friends, strangers. Don't be afraid to go before God wounded. Because remember, Christ came before his disciples wounded. Christ came and said, "I'm wounded, but I'm risen." You have the Holy Spirit. Now go. Go. Go make disciples. Don't be scared of your scars. Allow me to shine through your scars. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much again for this opportunity. Lord, I know each and every one of us has been wounded by the world, by friends, by family. Lord, it is so scary. We want to lock ourselves up and be isolated. We want to deflect anything that comes our way because we're so sensitive. We're so sensitive because we're insecure. But we're insecure because we don't have a confidence in you. Why don't we have a confidence in you? You died on the cross for our sins. You revealed yourself wounded, beaten. So Lord, give us that confidence. We don't have to try to be a Christian. We can trust by having faith that you died on the cross, that you rose from the dead. And when we get wounded, we trust that you will heal us. And we will allow you to shine through our scars. And all God's people said,